And joining me right now here on the Mark Mosey Show to go over latest on the Orlando Magic. They have a huge game tonight at Houston. This guy does a great job with the Orlando Magic Audio Network. Play-by-play man, Jake Chapman. Jake, how you doing today?
Hey, Mark. I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Hey, I went to the game on Sunday. It was a good win against Chicago. This team, four games to go. I'm getting ready for the playoffs. How about you, Jake?
Oh, we're ready. But still, like, these are all playoff games. It feels like coming down the stretch here. Still a whole lot to be decided, both for the Magic and for the entire Eastern Conference, really across the league. You know, and they put the play-in tournament scenario in. I think kind of the primary objective was to keep more teams in the mix just for a playoff spot or a play-in spot down the stretch. Just so it wasn't this time of year and you had half the league already thinking about the offseason, the lottery, et cetera, et cetera. But what it's done, or at least what it's done this year, is it's like every single game coming down the stretch here is going to be monumental. You don't have teams because you have so many teams in the mix that are three games clear of either spot on either side and can start resting. I mean, literally every team not named Boston is locked into a race coming down the stretch here. So, it's going to be a very, very intriguing final week of the season for the Orlando Magic and for the rest of the league.
Okay, on top of that, like you're saying, as of right now, today, Tuesday, the Magic are the three seed. But if they go on a three-game losing streak, they could be like the seventh seed. How much pressure is this team under right now to try to win these games down the stretch?
Yeah, I think a ton. Like, you know, I've been sort of answering and talking about for like the last week the proper perspective and the proper set of expectations at this point of the season, right? Like, you go back to the beginning of the year, you were sort of just hoping for a play-in bid to be where you are right now. I think for sure, 14 games above 500 with four games remaining, I think any Magic fan would have taken that. With that said, like, now I think it's okay to adjust those expectations. So if you were to drop out of the top six, and that's still a possibility, it would be a pretty big letdown. Not based on where you were in October, based on where you were 2 weeks ago or 2 days ago, right? You're here right now. You're the three seed with less than a week to play. So you don't want to call any game a must win. If you lose this game tonight against the Houston team that's already been eliminated, it's not the end of the world. But with that said, you can't just call it you're playing with house money right now and just roll the ball out there and see what happens, because the Magic have a chance to do something really special this year. They already kind of have, I think. I think at the very least, it's the start of something that could be pretty special. But you don't want to just punt on let go of the rope and say, okay, you know, whatever happens from here on out is all gravy. Because if you play your cards right, then you could end up with home court advantage in a first round matchup against a team that maybe you match up well against. We're talking about the Orlando Magic in the second round of the playoffs in a couple weeks. If everything goes according to plan, if you can stay healthy, which is a big if right now, and if you take care of business coming down the stretch here.
Okay, on top of that then, we're here with Jake Chapman talking Magic basketball. How good is this team at home? Because it feels like they're a mega giant there at the Kia Center.
Yeah, a much different team. You know, part of it is Jalen Suggs. There are a few players who, if you go through, Jalen's one of them, Franz is one of them. The splits are just like sort of mind blowing. They just shoot 4 or 5 percentage points better at home than they do on the road. A lot of times that's the case with young players. As it can be as simple as, you know, sight lines and comfort in the arena and the lighting and all of those things. I think usually it comes down to, younger players are a little bit more conditioned to respond to the energy of the crowd.
Yeah.
You see that with Jalen Suggs, certainly. He just gets going when he's interacting and when he's playing around and having fun and dancing and doing all those things, especially because Jalen impacts the defensive end so much more. But it is. It's been a great atmosphere all season long. You know, well enough to know, but it's been a long time. Like, you know, the Magic fans can be pretty special, and it can be a pretty intimidating place to play. It was when Dwight was here. When the team is winning and when everybody's on board. And I think Magic fans and Central Florida fans have been waiting for a long time. And just think about what's happened to Central Florida in the last decade or so. More and more people have come to the area and haven't really had something to latch onto. So Yes, we get a lot of transplants. Yes, there's a lot of, you know, Illinois natives and Ohio natives like you and I. But what ends up happening is people latch onto this team when they have something to latch onto. And so it's been a really, really special atmosphere all season long. And the players, I mean, it's not just lip service. They talk about it almost every night after the game. We fed off the crowd of the energy of the crowd tonight. Coach Mosley talks about it all the time. So it's been a whole lot of fun. And yes, like if we can land a top four seed in the Eastern Conference and play four out of, out of a 7-game series at home, or potentially a game seven in our own building, that would be huge, huge leg up.
I agree with you 100%. We're here with Jake Chapman. So you look at that loss to, what was it, Charlotte a couple days ago. They just like laid an egg. What happened in that basketball game?
Yeah, in hindsight, it's just like, okay, those games happened. Those games happen over the course of a season, and you don't want to just burn the tape, you know, crumple up the paper, throw it away, and move on, because you need to make sure that that doesn't happen again. But I also think that maybe it's worth it, right? If that means that you're locked in the remainder of the way, because Chicago's a playoff team, but Chicago's also a team that we have taken care of business against and been able to handle. And I think if we came out with the same kind of lax approach to the game on Sunday, then we would have taken another L. And so it was probably going to have to happen at some point. The Magic have done such a great job all season long. They're now 28-6, I believe it is, against sub-500 teams. And so typically young teams do get tripped up in games like that at, you know, a handful of times over the course of the season. It just hasn't happened too much for the Magic this year. But Charlotte, give them credit. They came out, they played loose and free. Brandon Miller torched us in the first half of that game. He started 10 for 10 from the field. He was absolutely lights out. And so it was a game where you got caught. And I think at the very least, it refocused you for the final week of the season, and certainly for Sunday. The Magic were really struggling in first quarters of games, and it all kind of came to a head in Charlotte last Friday night, and then they came out and were up 31-14 at the end of the first quarter on Sunday against Chicago.
Okay. What is the latest then? And I know you're not the team doctor, but what happened to Franz Wagner? What's the latest going into tonight then?
He rolled his ankle. He's listed as questionable. I think if it were up to Franz, he would play. I don't think it is 100% up to Franz. I think you might have to kind of save him from himself.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We need Franz feeling good for the playoffs. The last four games are obviously monumental as far as where you end up in the playoffs. But with a back-to-back tonight, I don't know. I think I might make him sit until Friday, as difficult as that may be. But I'm not sure. I think there's a different set of guidelines at this point of the year with a player like that and with an injury like that, because I've seen guys like Paolo roll their ankle and come back later in the game. And I know Franz is that tough. I just don't know what the most prudent approach would be at this point. So I would be surprised if we see him tonight or tomorrow. But again, with four games remaining and all of the movement that could still happen, stranger things have happened.
On Sunday at the Kia Center, when he went down, it got quiet in that arena. Did you get that sense as well when Franz went down?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the Magic actually, you know, we talk about injury issues, especially early in the season, and kind of the in and out of the lineup. And we finally have found some stability with the starting lineup, specifically having a healthy Wendell and a healthy Gary. Franz missed a handful of games in January with an ankle, and Paolo missed like two games with an illness, but those two guys are such stalwarts. They're just always available, and they want to play 82 games each season, which I think is something pretty special for young superstar caliber players. All that said, we've been pretty fortunate with injuries so far this year. Like, okay, you're going to have guys who miss 15, 20 games, but between those two guys who are almost always available, Jalen has been more available this year than in his first two seasons. For certain, Cole Anthony and Mo Wagner and Joe Ingles have played just about every game. Ingles had an ankle sprain, and that was about it. Once you got Markel back in the rotation, you've been pretty good and pretty fortunate health-wise. J.I. obviously is kind of a story unto himself. But I think you feel good coming down the stretch. Like, okay, we should be fairly fresh. We've had a plan for our veterans and Harris and Isaac and Markelle Fultz. I don't know if we'll see those guys tomorrow on the second night of a back-to-back. I don't know if we'll see Isaac in either game. Losing a Franz, if it was going to be a long-term injury at this point of the season, would be catastrophic. I mean, he's our second-best player. And so I think the way it happened and the reaction, I had a feeling like I didn't think he blew his knee out, because typically then you get guys taking knees and saying prayers and, you know, and a much longer delay. But you had a sense, you're right. I mean, everybody just watched and said, oh, my gosh, did our season just go down with Franz? And then you see him get up. And typically when it's more of like a frustration when they get up rather than, you know, a devastation emotional response, you have a sense that it's something like a rolled ankle or something that's going to be more of a short-term injury. But we don't just need Franz Wagner on the floor. We need Franz Wagner at 90% or better. So hopefully he's able to rest up pretty quickly.
We're here with Jake Chapman talking Orlando Magic basketball. They're going to be at Houston tonight. You brought up Jalen Suggs. Seeing him in person, I'll tell you, if you're in the front row there at the arena, you got to be watching out. He is a wild man on defense, which I really respect. He is an animal who wants to just shut people down. I think it's awesome. I think it's must-see TV. How about you when you get to call the games every night?
Yeah, it's fun. And there are games where he just starts like that, and it's like Sonic the Hedgehog or something, right? Like he's just everywhere. He wrecks other teams' offensive game plans and sets. And then oftentimes he's the one getting the runouts, right? Like he'll jump a passing lane, and then boom, the runway is clear, and sometimes he just lays it up and makes the smart play. He's not a big like highlight reel dunk type guy, but he oftentimes gets us going, turning the defense into the offense. And he does. That's what they ask him to do. Point of attack defending, yeah. Fight over screens, and make it easy on some of the other guys, right? So Franz and Paolo have had great defensive seasons, but you don't hear about it or see it as much because what they're doing is much more within the confines of the system. They're just checking their man. They're able to do that because Jalen's flying all over the place. It's a lot of fun. It's been really good because his first two seasons did not go the way that we hoped they would, the way that he hoped they would. He's talked a lot about kind of adjusting his mentality during the off season, being appreciative for who he is, where he is. And I think the emergence of Franz and Paolo have allowed Jalen to just be Jalen, which is like knock down open shots on offense, but you don't need to be the point guard of the future. You don't need to have the ball in your hands creating for your teammates. Franz and Paul are going to handle that load. You knock down open shots and get runouts and get out in transition, but focus 85% of your energy or whatever on the defensive end of the floor. That's what's going to help this team the most this year. And sometimes just having that clarity of what your role is really important. And that can kind of catapult you. And the other part is he's been available this year, which he dealt with a whole bunch of nagging injuries in years one and two, and just being out on the floor has been a big help as well.
Okay, I want your thoughts on this. When I think of him, it kind of reminds me of J.J. Redick, who was, you know, drafted by the Magic. In college, Jalen Suggs was the man. He was the top guy. He took his Gonzaga team to the national title game. He's dropping 20-plus a night. It goes through him. He gets the NBA. Okay, you're not going to be that guy anymore. You're not. It's not going to happen. And he had to adjust his game. That's kind of what happened to J.J. Redick, where he was the man at Duke, and then he had to just reset everything. Do you kind of agree with that, or do you think of another player when you think of the analogy?
No, I can see it. I think, you know, they're such different players because J.J., the reason he couldn't play the first few years was because he couldn't defend, whereas Jalen, the reason he's had trouble getting on the floor, not getting on the floor, but Jalen's struggles have come on the opposite end of the floor.
Yeah,
Jalen profiled as kind of a do-it-all guard, which is sort of a new, like a relatively new development. Like back in the day, and even when J.J. was coming out, there were point guards and there were shooting guards, and shooting guards only caught the ball and shot it. They didn't do a whole bunch of creating and all that stuff. And now we have all these combo guards that do a bit of everything.
Yeah.
And so when Jalen came out, it was like, okay, like a lot of people expected him to be You know, I'm trying to think of a good example. Halliburton or whoever, you know, like De'Aaron Fox. Like, okay, you're going to be this master pick-and-roll player, and the ball's going to be in your hands. And it just didn't click for him. But that's okay. Like, that happens to players. You're right 100% about – look, and most of these guys, they come into the league best player on their team. So think about Marcus Smart, right? I see some Marcus Smart in Jalen in that – like, he is going to be the heart and emotional – I think heart is the best way to put it, because I'm not sure if Jalen's, like, the loud leader of the team. I think Paolo leads a lot by example, but he has been a lot more vocal in year two. I think Joe is the vocal leader, Joe Ingles, as far as getting everybody going and talking it up. But Dante Marcatelli actually said this the other day. Jalen is the heart of the team. And that's how Marcus Smart always seemed to me in Boston. And that doesn't mean, you know, that Boston is lost now without him. But if you think back to Marcus Smart at Oklahoma State, he was the best player on offense on that team as well. There's a reason he was a top 10 pick. And, you know, after a few years, and especially after the emergence of guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who frankly are much better offensive players than Marcus Smart is, Smart said, you know what, this is my role. I'm going to be a pest. I'm going to be a defensive player of the year award candidate, and then he ended up winning it. And I think Jalen has kind of gone like down a similar path. But I know exactly what you're saying, because I was here. My intern season was J.J. Redick's rookie season. And, Mark, I used to do a weekly five-minute audio piece on J.J. Redick's rookie season. And you know how long a five-minute pre-produced feature can be. And the guy wasn't playing, Mark. And so I was asking him about poetry and what do you like on your pizza and X, Y, and Z, just trying to put together that thing each week. But his rookie season, he'll be the first to tell you, was a struggle because he couldn't defend. And Stan wasn't the coach that year. That was Brian Hill. Stan came in the next season. He wouldn't play J.J. Redick until the guy at least cared about defense. That's how it is in this league. And J.J. was never the offensive player in the NBA ever that he was at college Duke because there was so much talent around him. They needed J.J. to come off screens and knock down shots, and he did it pretty damn well for a long time.
Can you so tell this to J.J. Redick now? Like, you have to tell him that story if he remembers. You did those
pieces.
If
I ever see him, I will. I remember one time in the RDV parking lot, I'm asking him all these random questions, and he looks me dead in the eye, and he goes, "You asked me the weirdest bleeping question." and I explained to him, I said, "JJ, do you understand? Like, I'm doing this thing. It was called Chronicles of Redick. I said, I'm doing this thing each week, man, 5 minutes. I got to come up with something." And he understood. He knew the business well enough back then even to be like, "Oh, okay, yeah, that makes a little bit more sense."
Did you come up with Chronicles of Redick? Is that
I sure did.
Damn right you did. That's for Vin Diesel. I like that. let's end with this with Jake Chapman. Yes, Magic are going to be at Houston tonight. It's a big game. Four games left in the regular season. When I look at this team and I think of strengths compared to other teams in the Eastern Conference, I think that they have depth. I think they have five deep on the bench where you bring in Mo Wagner and Cole Anthony. And outside of Boston, I don't think these other teams in the East can handle what the Magic can do because they're young, like hungry, and they have depth. Do you feel that way, Jake?
Yeah, I do. And I also think the size and physicality is something that we have over other teams. Now, other teams are going to have more experience than we are.
Yeah.
Other teams are going to have more shooting than we are. Other teams might have more poise. We struggle turning the ball over. We struggle shooting the ball. But I don't think anybody wants to see us because it doesn't matter who you are. When we trot out 5, 6, 10 guys who can defend at the level that we can, nobody wants to play against that for a seven-game series. So I think there are a lot of teams who probably don't want to match up with us. With all that said, the inexperience is going to be big. Like, we're going to have to figure out a way to settle in quickly come the postseason. The depth is, I think, because I was just talking about this over the weekend, Mark, with Josh Cohen, who is a very, very adept and very smart. He works for us for OrlandoMagic.com. We're talking about the rotations and what they'll look like. A lot of times, come the postseason, you trim that down. Okay, we're going to a 9 or 8-man rotation. Minutes go up for your best players. How many minutes is Paolo going to play a night? Probably close to 40, right? He's going to be on the floor for most of every playoff game. So where do those minutes come from? Well, you kind of look down at that second unit and you say, okay, do we want to, and it's going to be matchup based, right? If it's a series where you don't feel like, you need as much size, or do you want to downsize a little bit, then maybe you trim it a bit. You've got so many options though, and that's the beauty of it, is Coach Mosley, not only does he have 10 guys deep that I think you feel very comfortable with playing a big role, boy, if somebody goes down or if somebody gets in foul trouble or whatever, you've got guys like Caleb and Chuma and Anthony Black and Goga Bataze who have played massive minutes. Anthony Black and Goga have started 30-plus games for this team this year. So I think the depth absolutely is going to be a big, big weapon. It may be, it may show up more so in like break glass in case of emergency type situation, because I do think you're going to see the rotations trimmed down a little bit. But it's, you know, I've seen good head coaches play, you know, their eighth or ninth man every game, 20 minutes a game for one series, and then not one single minute the next series. And that can work in the postseason. It is all matchup based, and we've got a whole lot of different options.
And that's why home court's going to be gigantic. Like, if you take on the Knicks, there is such a difference, because if they go to Madison Square Garden game one, they'll be overwhelmed with that crowd. But if they start at the Kia Center, like, my analogy would be, and I'll let you go, I could see the Magic, all right, we got home court, they lose game one, where it's just like they're in shock by what's going on. And then but luckily home court through seven games. So we're going to find out. His name is Jake Chapman. He's going to be on the call tonight. They'll be at Houston. My man, thank you so much for your help, and I hope I can get you on again moving forward with the playoffs. All right?
Anytime, brother. Be well.